Welcome back to another episode in our Oscar Rewind series. We're looking back at the 2010 Best Picture nominees and giving our unfiltered thoughts. I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal. Wow.
And, you know, we don't always get it, but, you know, we know our names, I think. Today, we're talking about Precious. It is about in New York City's Harlem, circa 1987, an overweight, abused, illiterate teen who is pregnant with her second child is invited to enroll in an alternative school in hopes that she can reroute her life in a better direction. The movie had 6 total nominations, including Best Picture, Lead Actress for Gabourey Sidibe, Supporting Actress for Monique, Directing for Lee Daniels, Adapted Screenplay, Jeffrey Fletcher, Film Editing, Joe Koltz. 2 wins. This is Precious. It took a long time to find this place. It took a long time to see happy. It took a long time to recognize your face. Alrighty, friends. This might be a little bit of a tough one today, but we'll make it through. We'll power through. What thoughts? What did we think of the film?
I don't know that I can say it was a good movie or a bad movie just because it's so jarring. I didn't like, I guess if I have to say, I didn't like the filter that was put on it. And I don't know for sure if Gabourey Sidibe was lit correctly. Something felt off to me about that. But then, like, you could argue that's the point, because, like, where she lives is terrible. You know, then it gets brighter as the movie goes along. I don't know. I don't know enough about that to critique it that well. I don't know that I have a strong opinion if it's good or bad. It was a movie, and it was a lot. And I don't ever want to see it again. Not because the performances were good. I will leave it at that. And that's probably the only thing I can really like gush about is the performances.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think the performances were really well done. I enjoyed a lot of moments from different people. This movie was just downright depressing and it was so hard to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think there were a lot of moments where I just felt like it wasn't very well done or like it was, I don't know. I don't think the movie as a whole is my favorite. Like if I were, obviously it's not my favorite. I just don't think it was the best. I obviously haven't read the book, so I don't know if, the movie was a really great adaptation. But yeah, there were some choices that Lee Daniels made that it didn't feel right to me or didn't feel good. And it didn't sit well with me.
You know, I think that, I think I mentioned this before, but as we go further back and back in time, I'm trying to critique this both as a person with film brain and film eyes in 2024, but also like trying to think of it in the context of whatever year it was in. I think that if the intention was to make it look very like gritty 1980s, like New York, that came across in the effects they were using, the lighting they were using, the color filtration, things like that. Not that that's easy to do, but I think that the like aesthetically, if that's what he was trying to go for, I feel like that was I see that that was successful. I feel like the strongest part of this, like you said, is the performances. The performances are where the film that is the film. You don't have this film. This film doesn't work as a whole without these actors. Even though there was a little bit of like a, oh, like cameo casting, but like the Gabourey Sidibe and Monique were acting their asses off. And that's something that I will definitely commend this film on.
But even with stunt casting or whatever, I think Mariah Carey's performance was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And so great. Yeah. She was one of my favorite parts of this. I loved.
Yeah.
I loved her interactions with Gabourey Sidibe, with Precious, and I loved her performance in that final scene at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. It felt very real. It was very real.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I think it helped that this quote-unquote stunt casting didn't feel like stunt casting. Like, we knew, like, oh, that's Lenny Kravitz, oh, that's Mariah Carey, but it didn't feel, like, too out of place. They felt like they fit into the world that Precious
was. Right.
I think that was important.
Yeah,
they kind of 100%. Melded into their characters, so it wasn't like, oh, like a rock star is just coming onto the scene. It's like, no, it felt, you know, for all of its like rawness and realness, they fit into that. The actors fit into it. So I do appreciate that they were able to, you know, go there with that as actors.
Yeah. How did you guys feel about the illiterate title cards at the beginning?
It kind of reminds me of how I didn't fully read The Help, but The Help is written in that way as well. Mm. I think it was kind of like, because it kind of makes sense to me, because later on when she's with Paula Patton, Paula Patton, where you been, girl? I miss you.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
God.
Great Angel actress. Great Angel actress.
When she later is with in Paula Patton's class, she's telling her, write every day, write everything. It doesn't have to make, or it doesn't have to make sense or be spelled correctly, just write. And so I kind of felt, I didn't connect until that class. I'm like, oh, okay, this is why the credits. So I think that's why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
It still felt like gimmicky to me. I don't know. It didn't sit well gimmicky? With me. Like, I don't know. I just didn't like it.
I think that this film as a whole, I was reading a lot on it, and it's essentially in the genre category that nowadays we would call a trauma porn, where it's in an exploitative way versus an informative way, which with films, because it's not like a documentary or something, a documentary is just going to give you essentially the facts and maybe a little bit of emotion behind it, a little bit of pathos, but it's a film, so it's being made for viewing purposes, for you to, like, there's a narrative behind it and there's an intention with what they're showing you. So I think that nowadays we've kind of moved past that for a lot of things. I think there's still, like, I remember, I never watched it, but 13 Reasons Why was one of those that was heavily critiqued for this, because it was like trauma porn glorification of, like, you know, suicide and things like that. Not that this is necessarily glorifying what's happening, but it's just like, it feels a little bit exploitative. not a little bit, but it's definitely in that vein, to where, like, okay, it's a lot, and I understand this is like a version of some people's reality, but it's also like how does a filmmaker show this or tell this kind of story without it being exploitative?
I think it teeters on exploitative, because it the scenes that are really terrible and horrible, they're not, there's, because like you said, there's a large chunk where it's okay. So it's not like abuse after abuse. It's not like traumatizing after traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good in that regard, but I feel like what would have helped that was at the very end, they could have been like, if you know someone or who is struggling, needs help, call this, like, a hotline or something. Because it says, like, for precious girls everywhere. Okay, how do we help them take the extra step? I felt like had that been in there, it would have been like, maybe not a perfect movie, but it would have helped the exploitative allegations, if you will. And another thing, too, like, when the movie was advertised, that's all they showed. was the abuse of Parks. So was so nervous to watch this. I thought that's all the movie was. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, those scenes are really bad, but like, it's not the whole movie. You get to see her joy. You get to see her fantasies and how how ambitious and strong she is, and optimistic, and how she is so much more than her circumstances, because she said her tenacity and her like positivity, despite everything that was happening to her, made the movie to me. It made it like, yes, like you want to cheer for her because, first of all, Gabrielle Sidibe is just great, but the character of Precious is also great. So I think that arc helped. I think they should have maybe bumped that up in the advertising, but it's clear that they wanted you to be like, come look this trauma. Like, and I'm not going to do that, you know, because that's not what I want to see.
I think that was one of the things that was surprising to me. Maybe not accidentally, but I didn't really know what I was watching when I originally saw this back in 2010. And then once I started watching it, I was kind of like, oh my God, this is so much. Like, why am I watching this? But also like, I already committed to the movie, so I'm going to keep watching for some reason. And I feel like what I remember of it was all those very traumatizing, heavy scenes. And I didn't remember any of, like, yes, she's in unfortunately, the joy to her comes from, like, her dissociating and trying to remove herself from her trauma and, like, having this entire Italian cutscene where, you know, life is good and there's other things going on aside from her trauma. But I was so surprised that, like, when I was making the list of timestamps, I was like, whoa, I thought this was going to be, like, way bigger chunks of the film that I was going to have to, like, fast forward through. Not to say that what's in there isn't bad, because it is really bad, but it wasn't, like, in my mind it was so horrible, and I was like, I never want to see this movie again. But for the parts that I saw of you know, of Precious having her positive moments, I'm glad that I got to see that again, and I'm glad that I got to, like, really be able to pay attention to that performance.
I feel similar in a way that I'm really glad I got to see this performance out of Monique and you know, Mariah Carey and Gabourey Sidibe and Paula Patton. Yeah. But yeah, I'll never watch. This was my first time watching it. I'll never watch this again. But Monique did say that she experienced abuse growing up and incestual abuse. And she said this was very therapeutic for her. And that's the only good thing I see coming out of it. Like,
yeah.
And you had to watch this. It was just hard.
And from what I remember from, like, the award season that year, she was very vocal about talking about, like, you know, people being able to get help and, you know, find resources and you know, being able to come out the other side and have and find some sort of, you know, therapy or like I don't know, just be able to process their trauma and move to the next portion of their life. I know she did not mince words at all through that award season, and I was, like, very happy with that. I've followed Monique my whole life. Like, I remember watching her on, like, sitcoms when I was a kid, and this was, like, such a different performance than what I was used to from her. But I think that's originally one of the reasons why I saw this movie, and I was like, oh, I know her. Like, let me watch it. Yeah. So innocently, I was like, Monique is great. Why not? And yes, Monique is great, but this movie was, like, that's a rough watch as a teenager. But, you know, I'm glad that there was that conversation around it. And it's also, there was some other show that was talking about this recently, because they didn't. Oh, so I don't know if you guys watched the new season of House of the Dragon?
No, I have not started yet. I'm behind. These past 2 weekends have been a lot, but I will
continue. Right. So, you know, obviously, like, Game of Thrones is very violent and very exploitative and blah, 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 and whatever. And recently there was a conversation about, like, oh, there was this scene that was supposed to happen in the books. Why didn't we see it on screen? I was like, there's no reason to traumatize actors by making them, like, act like that's happening when it's something so graphic and so violent. There's no need. There's
we're still smart, having this conversation.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. Twitter was all over.
Tired. It's the exact same thing as happened when Game of Thrones was airing the first time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that was already like, so salacious and terrible. Like, and they wanted more of it.
Like, right. People are a mess. People are gross, and people go way too far, obviously. I mean, duh. The argument is just like, well, if you're a good filmmaker, you should be able to know how to do that without just like, oh, look, gory, blood, scary, boo, you know? You should be smarter than that.
This was the first Best Picture nominee to be directed by an African-American filmmaker. And Jeffrey Fletcher is the first African-American to win adapted screenplay.
Wow. In 2010...
I hate that it was for this movie, but good for them, I guess.
Yeah.
In 2010, wow. Wow.
I don't know that I like Lee Daniels, because I was trying to think of his other work. I The Butler, I don't remember that being good. It was just like a lot of famous people playing famous people, if that makes any sense. Yeah. I didn't watch what was Empire. That was him as well, right? It's not my vibe. I don't care for it. I don't know that he's a good filmmaker.
Oh, well, I don't remember. I think we watched United States versus Billie Holiday. We watched that, right?
Also, that was him. Not a great movie. That was also trash.
That's why I was so concerned about this movie, because we had seen that, you know, a couple years ago.
I forgot and that was him.
Very exploitative and gratuitous.
Yeah,
gratuitous, where like yes. That woman had zero agency and nobody helping her in the entire film, and I really, it doesn't matter that that's, you know, supposedly her, you know, biographical to her, but like there was a way to make that film and not make, you know, her look like shit.
And now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of the same problems I had with this I had with that movie too. All I think about the movie's performances. Tavante Rhodes was fantastic, so was oh my god,
her name.
Audra Day was fantastic. It's just terrible that they were an early crappy movie for that those performances, because she had no agency. It was just like bad things happened to her after another.
Yeah,
and I mean, maybe that's true, but you're right, there could have been a better way to present that, you know. Now I'm mad because I remember how much I hated that movie. So Billie Holiday, like, legend, and then I'm like, this is disrespectful. This is disrespectful.
Yeah.
To who she was. Like, I
go watch Audra McDonald's performance. I think it's still on HBO at Lady Day at Emerson Bar and Grill, where she does a full like 90-minute concert as Billie Holiday, the talking and the singing.
Oh, I bet that's so good. Let's link it in bio. Link it in bio.
It's what she won her sixth acting Tony for.
Wow.
I was there in the audience when she won it, and I sobbed like a baby.
That is so cute.
But also, another good thing for this movie was Zosia Roquemore, who I love.
Who I'm blinding.
She was one of the girls in the class.
In the class? Which one? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one who showed up late. She was the
one who was going to be like a music producer.
Uh-huh.
She was in the Mindy Project.
And
a bunch of other stuff. But I love her.
That's cute. Those were some of my favorite scenes, I think.
Yes.
Is when they were like in community with each other. They like, at first they're like, rightfully like, what do you call it? Defensive.
Because of the
things,
well.
Yeah, because of the things that they've gone through in their life, it's understandable. But I love that they like build their community and like build that like love and support for each other.
And their camaraderie felt like sisterhood. Like they were ragging on each other, but at the same time, like they're for each other. Like caring for a baby while she's like trying to figure out what to do. Like
it all
felt very sisterhood, but not in like a cheesy way. Like,
right, and like in back, a realistic, you know, way. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're there for you when it counts, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, my name is Crystal. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, no, no. So my name is We're real good at this. We've been doing this for years.
Yeah, but we love to talk a lot, so. All right, flip a Crystal, coin. Who's going first?
Go.
There we go.
So my name is Crystal. I was born in Fort Worth. My favorite color is teal. I sing well. And I'm here because my two friends ditched me, and this is the only joy that I have in my life, talking to my, you know, on the screen. And also, I love talking about movies, but.
Oh my God. How dare she? How did I know this was coming also?
My name is Anastasia. I was born in North Richland Hills. My favorite color is yellow. I'm good at
a lot of things, bitch.
Okay, side note, that's not a compliment. You need to be specific in what it is. Like, what are we, like, I know people, like, I'm not going to rag on you, Joy. I know I love you, but, like, when people say, like, oh, you're good at everything, that's just, like, a blanket statement. Like, what exactly do you mean? Like, what
to me, at? You're good at everything, so whatever. You're good at
for
cooking.
You, you know, for you,
you're
Anna,
good at cooking.
Say.
You're good at taking care of people. You're good at singing. You're good at planning trips.
Anna, you know, I think you're
good. I was going to say, I was saying this about Anna, so.
Oh, okay. I think you're good at caring for people. You take care of the. This is the world. You take care of it like a baby. That's you. Because I will say that when I try to find what I was good at, it took me a while, like, what am I? And I didn't want to say that because I feel like that's not, I need to actually have something. And so I was like, okay, I'll say I'll sing well, since I literally sang a concert last year, last the other day.
You did it. You did great.
It's your turn.
Why are you here, Anna? Why are you here?
Joy, it's your turn.
Okay, my name is Joy. I was born in Santa Ana, California. What's the third thing? I have a shit memory.
Favorite color?
My favorite color is blue.
Something you do well.
See,
it's hard, right? A beacon of positivity.
Yes. Not. Yes. I'm obnoxiously positive, unfortunately.
There it is. There it is.
And what was the last one?
You're here because.
I'm here because I love these two bitches, and they're the best bitches in the world.
Oh.
They're the loveliest ladies I ever met. And one of these days, I'm going to kidnap them and make them live in my house.
Just do it already. Just I'm be saying one of these days.
Okay,
just
can you okay, honestly, like, we can fit three people in here if we really try.
You already have two.
I know, we can fit two more. Hello, we're Mexican. We can fit anywhere.
I'm underestimating the Mexicanness of Joy.
Yes, I will. There's an air mattress. There's the regular bed. There's this chair. I'll buy a
I'm
futon.
Too white for that shit. I love you all. I am too white for that shit and one bathroom.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
bathroom.
Well, that one's That's a little fair. Tricky. Yeah. But we, you know, we can, we have, I don't know, we can go bathroom in the store or the deli across the street or wherever. In the street.
Yeah, people going to the deli for makeup. I get to my makeup. My skincare routine. I got to go to the deli.
Oh man, I used to have three mirrors and now I only have the mirror in the bathroom.
What happened to the other ones? Did you break them?
No, I couldn't bring them in the move.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, you can buy them.
You've been there for a year and a half. Buy a mirror, babe.
Okay, I'm not a
it's too much commitment for her. She can't do that.
Well, I do nails and a wall. This is not a regular wall. This is a different kind
it's
of wall.
It's a cool wall. That's what.
This is not like a wood wall. It's like a wall. Like, I don't know how to put nails in it. I'm dumb. Please help me.
You better be glad that Anna's not up there, because she would have had let your ass in shape already.
I know. God. Again, the actually, kidnapping. Anna, I think I have some miles, so maybe I don't know. I'll force her up here. Put all my Delta miles together.
I'm not helpful in that regard. I should be like, yeah, it's fine. Let's make it worse. I was like, no, we're fixing this now. I'll just help clean.
You need to have a good home base.
That's why my life's a mess, because it's so, that's so hard. That's so hard. Like, oh, I just want to get home and pass out.
But no, one bathroom with my tiny ass ineffectual bladder. The other night, I was on the couch. I stood up and I was like, oh shit, I have to pee so bad. So I am like squeezing my way to the bathroom. Rocket left one of his bones in the bathroom. I step on it and immediately pee my pants. Like, that's what we're working with here. Do you want me to go downstairs to the bodega to go pee? I don't think so,
then
bitch.
Your room will just be the bathroom then.
You're going to live in the bathroom. We'll put some blankets in the tub.
This is my life.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know what? Oh, no. I'll save that story for afterwards.
Hey, I got vulnerable and talked about my bladder.
Well, my bladder is now not as reliable as she used to be because there's something going on down there. And that's new. And so now it's like pushing on my bladder. So I can't hold it as much as I used to. So I come home and I'm like running to the bathroom.
Pushing on your bladder like a baby?
Like a what?
Like a baby?
Ew, no, God, no, ew.
What about the baby?
What about the baby? What about the baby? Are you here to fight with this?
Oh, my God, that'll never
Are you here to fight with this, Candace? Oh, my God. That was the worst line reads. That was too modern. That was so wrong. Oh, man. Oh my God, that fucking
That's Mockingjay part one, right? Or two?
Yeah, part one.
Are you here to fight with this, Candace? Are you gonna fight with us?
I don't think I've seen part one or part two of Mockingjay since theaters.
We watched it like several times during the early pandemic.
Yeah. And I unfortunately have an obsession problem, so I've watched it several times this year.
Well, actually, I don't know why we got this is before R.O.P. Donald Sutherland. Adana and I started talking about Hunger Games for some reason. I think we were talking to Hannah about something and she was like, do you want to watch it? I was like, yeah. So we watched Hunger Games and Catching Fire. And then, like, I think Catching Fire 2 days later, he passed. I was like, oh, no.
Oh.
So we haven't gone back to Mockingjay, so we're going to wait a little bit. But, yeah, just recently, I was like, yeah, this movie's solid. Like, Catching Fire?
Oh, yeah.
Like, name a better movie. Well, there's a lot. But you know what I mean.
It's up there.
It was my favorite book and movie of the franchise.
You know what's funny? It's my favorite movie. But Mockingjay was my favorite book, which is no one's favorite book, I know. But I liked the political intrigue of that one. I liked the whole, like, just the tit-tat. Like, I liked the mind fighting rather than the fighting. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Anyways, whatever. That's just me, I guess.
Let's wrap this fucking movie up.
Okay. I'm going to go through my notes really quick.
I am glad that we were able to find some levity in what would otherwise be a very, very difficult, very, very hard to talk about podcast. On the positive, Precious's blue eyeliner was so pretty and looked so good on her.
Yeah, it did.
I was like, dang, she looks so cute.
Yeah, I want some of that. Her spirit was really inspiring, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's so, again, she had every reason to just succumb to what was happening and just give into it. But she was like, no, I'm going to read this book, or I'm going to learn how to read. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to read to my son and daughter, or my son every day. Like, she was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And there's no, like, I love that. I think showing her fantasy life is a great way to break up all the trauma that was happening. You know, it was really sad because that's how she escaped. But at the same time, she had these big dreams.
It felt like a fucked up Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh my god.
That was my thought when it first happened. I was like, oh, this is the fucked up Lizzie McGuire. Sans animation.
Or even like the picture speaking to her.
Yes.
Was an interesting, it's an interesting way to break up the story, the trauma in the story, but also an interesting way to showcase the actress's talents and how they can be different things in the same movie. I think that was smart. It was a showcase for them as well. I wrote, I should have skipped this, but I don't remember exactly what that was about. So doesn't matter. I skipped it. It's out of my head.
There was a timestamp there that I was like, they're talking about the abuse is happening, but it's not showing anything. So it's probably that.
No, whatever you gave me, I skipped that. I didn't even question it. But there was something, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Paula Patton, where you been? Whenever they're writing the letters on the board and she writes F and the girl says fat or whatever, I was like, honestly, yeah, smack her. Do it.
Same.
Go off. And then I liked how, like, she was brave to stand up to people. Like, she was not afraid to smack her or say, talk back to her mom. Like, she was in so much danger, but she, at the same time, she was like, no, you know. And I guess that's maybe the product of, like, her environment. That's the only way she knew how to communicate. And teachers like Miss Rain are, like, the true angels on earth. Like, people who work in these environments to help these women, these people, out of their situation to educate themselves, like, what other angel is there? Like, angel and from heaven, that's what they are.
I completely agree, but I do also want to call out that this is a fantasy version of that.
That's true. Yes, it is.
The way teachers are treated and the resources they have, even at regular schools, top level schools, inner city schools, it is complete and utter garbage. This country does not care about its educators. And it is disgusting, and I hate it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I think just because the system is bad, those people are still good and they're still there, you know? And I think the system, trash. The people, angels.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard to be an angel in environments like that, but the ones who still do it, again, like, first line heaven, they're there.
Yeah, they're doing so much with so little that they're given, so little resources, so little support that they're given, and it makes such a big difference in people's lives, really.
Like, there's I think it's that scene where Paula Patton is, like, calling, making calls, and the voiceover of Precious is like, I feel so bad for her. She's not a social worker. She's a teacher, but she's doing her best. And I love that. Like, even Precious recognizes that, like, this is not her job, but she's going to do whatever she has to do. I cannot remember the line. I didn't write it down, but she says, like, there's people who are so used to not enough light, and it becomes a tunnel, and their only light is themselves. And even then, when they're past that tunnel, they still shine their light on other people. I thought that was beautiful, because that's what Paula Patton is. Like, Paula Patton went through her troubles and is still shining her light on other people to help them out. That's gorgeous. Like, that made me cry. That was beautiful. I'm trying to think of something else.
I wish they would have done a little bit more on how great Precious was with math and numbers.
Yeah.
I wish we could have seen her shine in her element a bit more. The fact that nobody praised her or said anything when she was, like, calculating those numbers real quick. I was like, girl, that would have taken me, like, 30 minutes in a calculator.
Something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was nice to see how, in the very beginning, she's trying to read that, like, 4 words and she can't do it. But then, like, she's reading her story in the classroom. So that was really nice to see. But just seeing her, like, finally seeing her, like, you're not going to see me anymore. Like, I'm taking my kids, I'm going. Like, that was really beautiful. And I think had the movie ended on a not happy ending, I don't know that I would have been able to recover.
Yeah.
Because it was already a lot, and then had it ended badly, the whole movie would just garbage. It wouldn't have been worth it. It wouldn't have been worth it, but it was worth it for that.
Yeah.
There was some interview I was reading, or what is it? Article thing I was reading about it. The scene where she's on her way to the delivery room to give birth. And Lenny Kravitz turns over to her and says, "Stop screaming." And she actually stops screaming. They were saying it's like her screams are not so much the physical pain, but the emotional pain of having to suffer through all of this by herself. And so that's why she is actually able to stop. But then she has so much built up emotion, she just keeps going.
Yeah.
Which is very... That's a lot.
I found it
very interesting. I like that they gave her mom like the personality of like she's a classic film watcher. It's very interesting because that maybe that's also her way of dissociating from that, from what her history of abuse is. Mm-hmm. Being like, oh, let me just like go, you know, put myself into these movies, and this is what kind of saves me from the world I'm living in.
Yeah,
but I will say the most, I think one of the stronger parts of Monique's performance is how quickly she's able to do that like Jekyll and Hyde thing with the social worker, because that's very much how like, that's how abusers act.
Yeah.
And then to be able to do it like that quickly in the same scene within one line difference, she's like starts the sentence saying one thing and then ends the sentence acting differently. I was like, wow, that's
even acting. When she's saying something nice but her body language or face is doing something different.
Yeah like that whole scene with the I think it's the food stamps lady or the social worker that comes to see them in the house. Oh my God, the tension in that scene. I was so stressed the entire time. So stressed. That was a lot. Shout out to Shirley Chisholm. She was watching something and an ad for Shirley Chisholm comes up. That was nice.
I also liked that. I do so. I can't even talk. Later on when she's like, there's that like montage of Precious like learning all the stuff and she's like, I'm gonna teach my son all this.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a montage of just like history she's learning.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah,
that was nice.
That was nice to see. Like, I'm gonna teach my son all this. Like, I loved that. I also liked that girl said when they were like, what are you good at? She's like, I'm a good mom. It's like, oh, I love that.
That's so sweet. Yeah. And then when she was like, what does she want to do or what's her goal? It's like, what was it?
To open up a center for families and moms.
Yes. That. I was like, oh, that's so precious. I hope she gets to do that. Oh, so nice. The one scene that I was very, very also impressed with Gabrielle Sidibe is that scene that she has with Mariah Carey when Mariah Carey finds out the details of her abuse. And it's like, I really do, at least about the filmmaking, I do appreciate all these like close-ups where you're just seeing, it's just the actor's face. You don't get environment. You don't get anything else. You just get face. And so I do appreciate that is putting the acting at the forefront of the film.
Yeah. Because that was his best asset, so that was a smart move.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that, like, this is her first movie, and she's the lead, and she's killing it. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't even feel like she's... It's just, like, natural.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I read that.
She said before, she's like, I'm going to do one audition, and now I'm nominated for an Oscar. Like, that's amazing.
I read that, you know, where she was in college, and word had gotten around that they were auditioning for this part, and she wasn't going to go. She was on her way to class and her route was blocked off by a film set. for another movie, and she was like, okay, turned around and walked to the audition because she couldn't get to class. Wow. So I forget what movie that is, but we can thank them for...
I love that. Also, yeah, I love right. how she just recently had twins. Like, not that long ago.
Oh, her that's so cute. Two babies.
I think, yeah, I remember, because again, I was like, this movie, I'm scared of this movie. But I remember the press junket for her. They were like, who is this girl? She's hilarious. She's fun. Like, she was going to all the talk shows. Like, she was doing a really good job of being herself and, like, her smiley personality and, like, selling the movie in that regard. Like, I kind of want to watch it because I liked her from those interviews. But I was like, this is a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a real shame that she hasn't really had a career as she should have.
No.
Yeah, not to the same level as, like, an Oscar-nominated actress. Again, we've said this before with other actors that have also been Oscar-nominated. And what, like, they don't... Where's her next lead film? She got one. We need another one. Let's put her in something else. Like,
I really loved her work in the Showtime show The Big C with Lauren Linney. She was really great there. That's where I first saw her because, like I said, this was my first time to watch it. But the film that was being made that blocked her was Ridley Scott's American Gangster with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
Oh. So,
thanks.
Oh, I bet it is with those two. Mm.
Scene chewing. So much scene chewing.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I need to see that. I love seeing actors act. And even though this is like such a like trigger warning heavy content shit, like the acting, it was worth it for the acting alone.
I feel like if you just watch that final scene with to see Monique's performance, that's all you need to see of her. I mean, you could watch the scene with the social worker coming in with the grandma and her grandbaby there. I don't know if I also agree.
I agree with that, but also the contrast them like in the fake like Paris or whatever, the fake soap opera.
Fake Italy,
I think that's a good see both of those to see the range of those two.
Right.
Because my fear when I watched this was like, it's just going to be like a bunch of yelling and a bunch of crying and then like Oscars, you know, which Oscar Beatty can feel kind of gross. But this, like I said, did a good job of showing the range of them. And I think that was smart. Good. Any last notes, I guess?
I have a note that says, fuck this day, fuck that day. And I don't know what day that's talking about for her. Because there's a lot of days. So but I do love that I wrote that. Fuck that day.
I don't know. There was a lot of days. And it all kind of blurs together now because I in order to get through it, I watched it at like 1.5 speed. So I was like, okay. Let me not like sit here and like watch it. But I saw some of those bits and I was like, oh God, I could not. But we did it. We made it through the movie.
Hallelujah. Congrats, guys.
Honestly, and like that last, what is it? That last title card. That's where I felt it. I was like, oh, pain.
Yeah, because there's so many people who go through things similar that we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
And who'll never have the chance that Precious had to get out. Or, you know.
Oh, wait, so there's title cards at the end?
Well, when it says for Precious Girls.
That's what she means.
Just that one. That one. Yeah.
But it made me think that, like, when I read that, I thought, oh, for all the ones that, like, don't have an outcome.
Didn't make
like
it out.
Who didn't make it out. Like, that's very upsetting. So that's why I feel like a title card of, like, if you know somebody who needs help, some type of hotline would have been really nice to have there to show that, like, this is a movie, but it's also real.
Yeah.
And that would have been the smart thing to do.
All
right. Categories, Joy.
Categories. So best picture. Should it be in best picture?
I'd say yeah. Even though it wasn't that good of a movie, I'd still say yeah for the performances alone.
And for the history it made.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Lead actress Gabrielle Sidibe, who was up against Meryl Streep in Julie and Julia, Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, Helen Mirren in The Last Station, and Carey Mulligan in Education.
Absolutely should be here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine your first time you're nominated for an Oscar and you're against Helen Mirren, or I'm sorry,
Helen Mirren and Meryl Streep?
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow. Amazing. Now, good job.
Of the ones we've seen, which do you think is the winner?
Girl, I'm going to have to go with Gabrielle Sidibe, honestly. Sandra Bullock, she's not in the running.
No, love her, though.
But this is not the movie. This is not the movie for her. Carey Mulligan was great, but...
I'm inclined to agree.
Same.
Yeah.
I think it was just like career-making performance, so I wish she would have... I wish Gabrielle Sidibe had the same career trajectory or a similar career trajectory as Carey Mulligan, because that's what she deserves.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just as talented.
They're just as talented.
And even though this wasn't Carey's
debut, they were similar age.
It was her breakout.
Breakout role.
And Carey has worked consistently since then. Mm-hmm. And Gabrielle should be there as well.
Exactly. Actress in a supporting role, Monique for Precious, obviously. Vera Farmiga in Up in the Air, Penelope Cruz in Nine, Anna Kendrick in Up in the Air, and Maggie Gyllenhaal in Crazy Heart.
She should be here, yes. Oh, yeah.
I agree. I also think Paula Patton, I wouldn't have been upset if she was nominated as well.
Yes.
I agree.
I know it was a long shot, but like Mariah Carey, like, she's so good.
Honestly,
I was like, Mariah Carey, she did
so good. This made me want to see her in more things because I was like, I didn't know she could do this.
I didn't know what. Oh, you're frozen.
Hello?
Oh, hello?
You're frozen, Anna. Oh, there you go. You're good.
Okay.
You guys were frozen.
You were frozen.
We're all frozen.
But I didn't know this movie, it features, queer people. I had no idea.
Queer people. I love that. That was a
lesbians.
They existed in the '80s. Who knew?
Oh my God. They existed in New York and Harlem in the '80s. What a surprise. Honestly, that part warmed my heart. So I was like,
I love to see this. It's such a nice surprise. And I think that was another way to show like, it puts them in a good light for sure, but also that voiceover is like, my mom didn't like these people, but they're the only ones who showed me compassion. They're feeding me, they gave her a Christmas present, like crying. Yay for days.
That was so cute. That was so cute and so wholesome. That's one of the scenes that I was like, how did I completely the trauma watching this the first time totally overshadowed like the sweet moments and the nice moments in the movie. I completely forgot about that. I mean, that makes sense
because if you were that young watching it, that's all you're going to remember is the one that, like, hit you the most, you know?
Yeah.
But that was so nice to see.
Yeah, so Paula Patton and Mariah Carey, why not? If there's two people in here for Up in the Air, I don't see why not. I don't see why that would be an issue at all.
No, I've seen Up in the Air, but I don't remember that well. So I'm, right now, Monique is the winner because she won. But I'm eager to see what I think of. I'm eager to see what I think of Up in the Air, and also I'm gonna rewatch Nine.
I am too, bitch. I'm
because so that excited. Felt like such a fever dream. I thought I made it up, but I'm like, oh, this movie actually exists. Okay, got it.
Italian. Yes, that song is so good.
Wait, is Fergie in this movie too? In
Nine? Yes.
Oh my God.
I love that song.
Nicole Kidman too.
Nicole Kidman, Fergie, Penelope Cruz, really? Kate Hudson.
Is this like a Glee episode? That's what it feels like.
Basically. It's just a bunch of...
Oh my God. Like, did Ryan Murphy watch Nine? I was like, I have a great idea for a TV show.
Well, Nine is an old.
But let me make it worse.
Been around for a while.
You know what I mean.
I forgot that was Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh my God, that's right.
Marianne Cotillard.
That's what I thought. I thought she was in it. Judi Dench.
Judi Dench! Wow!
Isn't Judi Dench like his mom or something?
Like Sophia Loren, isn't it, as well, isn't she?
Yes!
That's his mother. God.
Oh, okay.
Because her character is just called Mama.
There we go.
When you're good to Mama.
To Mama!
Yeah, so I'm going to rewatch 9 and get back to you, but
yeah, because Penelope Cruz is totally going to win that.
Monique's clearly the winner, so whatever.
Yeah, same. Directing, it's up against James Cameron for Avatar, Catherine Bigelow, The Hurt Locker, Quentin Tarantino, and Glorious Bastards, Up in the Air, Jason Reitman.
It's hard because I'm so glad that there was a black man in the mix and that he was the first African-American to have a Best Picture nominee. But overall, I don't think this was a great movie.
Yeah, cosign.
Yeah, I feel like the directing portion of this is probably the weakest part of the film. Because I feel like it was guided by other things, not just like, you know, him making certain choices.
Yeah, because if you take performances out of it, then it's a crappy movie. It's a shitty movie at that point.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of meat there without that.
And there were even so many times that I was like, why is this camera movement? Why is he doing this? Like, this feels erratic for no reason. Also, I think, like, why is Gabriel Sidibe the lead of the film, the most poorly lit of the whole movie? Like, I hate that.
And I do want to say that that was, like, a specific choice.
That's what I thought. To the film. Sure if, like, I should.
That felt, it felt intentional. It didn't feel... It felt intentional. The lighting in the film was doing a disservice to her for the point of the story. From like what I got from it, like you can't have done it that many times and it not be intentional.
At the same time, her fantasy scenes weren't that well lit either. Only time she was lit was when it was like flashes of the camera, but that's really like the. When she's like paparazzi, like that's the only time she was quote unquote well lit.
That paparazzi scene was so cute.
We've talked about how actresses who are darker skinned, there's always a struggle to light them properly.
Yeah.
And I feel like a film with a black director, that should be no excuse.
Right. For sure.
Also, I just feel like there were moments where tonally it just felt like it didn't fit in with the rest of the film. The one that stands out the most to me is when she goes to steal the fried chicken and she's running away. There was just something about it that felt like I was taken out of it for a second.
The color temperature, maybe, because that was like...
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it just felt like this was not in the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I what you're saying. Yeah, kind of like paste it onto there or something.
Almost like they were like, we need another scene to fill this. Let's put in this one.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
You know what I think it kind of is because like a lot of the because it's very 80s, it's very like cool tone and very fluorescent and everything. But it doesn't. I think it doesn't do a good enough job of like transitioning between the tones, between the temperature, between the color temperature and the scenes. Cause you go from inside to outside to inside and the transition is a little choppy.
Right.
Okay. Adapted screenplay. It's up against District 9 and Education, Up in the Air and In the Loop, which I don't know what that is.
I didn't read the book, so I can't speak to the adapted nature of it. But as far as the screenplay is concerned, I'm going to say sure. But I don't know that it should have won.
I don't know if I have any specific thoughts about it other than I'm glad it was the first time a black man won.
Again, same, yeah.
Or an African-American one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't read the book. I vaguely remember push being quite a sensation. And it was good enough to get, like, I don't know. I'm going to say yes.
I think in terms of telling the story where it wasn't just 1 2-hour long cut of abuse.
Right.
It gave the character more agency. There was a little bit more more dimensional than than even a lesser film would do. A lesser film would just be like sad for 2 hours.
That's true.
Whereas this gave us a more well-rounded character, a multi-dimensional supporting characters. So I think in that aspect, yes.
That's fair. I'll go with that.
Same.
And film editing. It was up against Avatar, District 9, The Hurt Locker, and Inglourious Basterds.
I don't know if I liked the film editing here.
I don't think I did either.
Why?
Because again, for what Anna said earlier about it not being cohesive in its transitions through its different scenes, it didn't feel, like you said, the transitions weren't good. It was choppy. But also, I don't really feel like it was worthy of being picked as a nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, maybe not bad, but it wasn't good enough to be recognized either, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because if I compare it to the other ones that we've already seen, like Avatar, District 9, and Inglourious Basterds, like, those were very specific about their editing, and editing was like it was a directing choice in the film rather than just like, okay, it's like,
right,
it's part of the film but not like the star of the film.
And for three people who know nothing about film editing, there were moments where we noticed it, and in a good way, in those films.
Yeah,
that's true.
I wouldn't say we know nothing. I feel like we've been doing this for a minute, so
I feel like we know a little bit, maybe 20% of 15 about film editing. I mean, we know why there's too much editing, a la Bohemian Rhapsody,
right? Or Vice.
Don't get me started.
The Vice editing team had a vice for editing. Thank you and good night.
Oh my God, we're done with you. We're done. That's it.
I'm done with me.
That's all the nominations, and so I guess that's the movie. And you're right, Anna. That is it. That is all. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
This podcast.
Are we not ranking it?
Oh shit,
no, we are.
I forget every time. Girl, what the hell? My brain is mush. Let me find my list. Hold on, because I obviously haven't done this.
I have mine. I will go.
Go.
So at the bottom we have, you guessed it, The Blind Side. It's still there. It's still blind. Then above that I have Precious. Then I have Avatar, An Education, and Glorious Bastards. And number one is still District 9.
I had a hard time with the placement of Precious. At the bottom, I have The Blind Side, where it belongs. I went ahead and put Avatar in 5 solely because I loved the performances in Precious more than I loved the performances in Avatar. That's so I have fair. Precious at 4 and Avatar at 5. And then third, I have District 9, second in Education, and first in Glorious Bastards. Which I need something to take Quentin Tarantino off the top.
I know.
Real quick. Because I don't like it. I don't like it.
I have
it.
Next week. Maybe we'll change it. And for me, I was looking at it as more enjoyability. I enjoyed Avatar immensely more than Precious. Precious was what
that's
it
not
was,
something so you that's can enjoy.
Why it's so low. But yeah, you're right. Performance wise, it's above Avatar. But I was just looking at it as more like I like this. I like that. And yeah, I hate Avatar, so there you go.
I guess if we're doing rewatchability, it would be below Avatar.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing that's interesting about these rankings is, like, we always approach it in a different light.
In a different way, yeah.
And even, like, within each other, like, next episode, it's going to probably be different because I'm thinking of, like, something else completely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Joy?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the bottom, this is not, I don't think this will change. The Blind Side. I think that's one we will all agree on. And then Avatar, because, again, performances are precious, I feel like, outrank the everything that is Avatar. Congrats, visual effects, but Precious is next. Three, I have Inglourious Basterds. Two, An Education. And one is District 9.
Yeah, fair. Fair enough. Because, like, in Precious, everyone's given it. As opposed to Avatar, where, like, it's just Zoe Saldana, I really give it. Well, Sigourney Weaver's good, too, but it's far less than Precious.
Yes.
So y'all are not wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, but even then, I think Sigourney Weaver...
And neither are you.
Sigourney Weaver did not... Like, the supporting characters in this film were so much more dynamic than any of the characters.
Dynamic. That's a good word, dynamic.
In Avatar, whereas all those characters in Avatar, we've seen that story 100 times, and it wasn't done any differently in that movie. Whereas in Precious, I feel like this was... In 2010, it was done in a different way than it had been also, seen before.
The roles are meatier. There's more to do there.
Yes. For the actors, it's so much.
For the actors, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. Okay.
So this is the end of the podcast now that we're done doing all of our stuff, because is there anything else I'm forgetting? My brain, my wallet, my keys. No,
we gotta go with the categories.
I don't have to forget my car now, which is good. We already did that.
Oh, okay.
I think we did, right? Okay.
Don't let her fool you.
I'm so sleep deprived. I'm so sorry. But I'm like this all the time, so this is not an excuse. My bad.
You can hear us now with your headphones. That's good.
I can't. This is so weird. Like, I can't hear anything else. I can only hear you guys. So cool.
Isn't that amazing?
Although I don't know how I sound, because I just hear myself as like I'm hearing myself. So I hope this sounds good. I don't know.
You sound like shit.
So, like, normal. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Nice. Noise. Noise.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, thanks and good night. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Motherfucker.